Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Finally today, we want to hear about a political movement with lofty ambitions to combat the effects of climate change. It's called a Green New Deal, an environmentalist spin on FDR's Depression-era social program. Here's Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez explaining the Green New Deal to 60 Minutes' Anderson Cooper.
You're talking about zero carbon emissions, no use of fossil fuels within 12 years?
That is the goal. It's ambitious. And
how is that possible? You're talking about everybody having to drive an electric car?
It's going to require a lot of rapid change that we don't even conceive as possible right now. What is the problem with trying to push our technological capacities to the furthest extent possible?
Technological capacities, but it might be our political capacities and those harsh realities in Washington that pose the biggest challenges to a Green New Deal. So with me in studio is one of the Boston-based leaders of the push for a Green New Deal. Varshini Prakash is a co-founder of the Sunrise Movement. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Kellen.
So we heard on that tape from Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez some of the broad sketches of the Green New Deal. Could you fill in some more details for us?
Sure, absolutely. So when we talk about a Green New Deal, what we are talking about is an umbrella term for the kinds of programs and policies that get us off fossil fuels fast, a transitioning to an 100% renewable energy economy to stop the climate crisis. And in the process, creating millions upon millions of good-paying new jobs and supporting communities on the front lines of poverty and pollution. So digging more deeply into what some of these pillars of a Green New Deal might involve, we've been discussing what it looks like to eliminate all warming emissions in virtually every sector of society by the year 2030, in the next 12 years. We've been exploring a job guarantee that would guarantee a job to any American who wants or needs one cleaning up the climate crisis. We're talking about massive investment in communities of color, frontline communities who are the first to bear the brunt of the climate crisis and oftentimes the last to get help. So we're talking about a socioeconomic project to rival some of the greatest projects in history, as you talked about and as the name suggests, like the New Deal for FDR.
The New Yorker writing about the Green New Deal recently said it would be, quote, nothing less than a total overhaul of our national infrastructure. That gives you a sense of what the scope we're talking about here. Any idea what it would cost, Varshini?
Sure. Well, I think when we think about what it would cost, we're talking about massive investments, right? We're talking about an actual investment in our country. We're talking about the creation of tens of millions of good jobs for working Americans that would actually create a massive boost to our economy. We're talking about supporting communities and improving people's lives by lowering the costs of disease, of asthma, of cancers, of all of these things that being addicted, our fossil fuel addiction, our addiction to oil and gas and burning these products is causing for us. So I think when we look at the long term of this, what it means is actually if we don't start taking immediate action starting today, and every year that we delay action, we're actually making it a lot more costly for ourselves. I believe 2017 was the most costliest year on record when it came to disasters, $400 billion. And that's not even to include the cost, the emotional toll on people's lives of losing almost 5,000 people in Puerto Rico after Maria, the almost 100 people who were burnt alive in their homes following the Camp Fires and the Mendocino Complex fires from earlier this year.
So without a specific dollar figure, I take it it's a big price tag. But if I gather right, you're saying the cost of not doing this would be even higher in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. And I think it's going to take a lot of investment. But something I do want to point out is that we seem to have the money for lots of things. We seem to have the money for a $1.7 trillion tax giveaway to the wealthiest of the wealthy in this country. So if we have dollars, if we have money to pad the pockets of billionaires and to pay for fighter jets, then I think we can scrape together the money to improve people's access to clean air and clean water, allow people to live out the rest of their lives in peace and dignity, and not throw a generation of people like me and every generation to come into chaos and violence and uncertainty. And I just want to name, this is all... This is A large reason why we're pushing for it on this scale is because thousands of scientists released a landmark report last year, the UN climate scientists, the IPCC report, which says that this will require unprecedented changes to our every level of our economy and society. So this is actually based in reality of what it's going to take to protect people's lives.
And that UN report did have some dire warnings for the Boston area as well, but perhaps we haven't seen as much extreme weather here as in other places. You mentioned, you know, the fires in California, hurricanes in the southern part of the United States and in Puerto Rico. You're a local, so I'm curious what, you know, you weren't in the midst of those particular disasters. What drew you into this cause, Varshini?
Absolutely. So everything about why I fight on climate has to do with my family and where I'm from. I was born and raised in Massachusetts, but I am the child of two South Indian immigrants. And the way in which the climate crisis is wreaking havoc in India and places around the world, especially the global South, is heartbreaking. In 2015, we saw an extremely strong monsoon season that caused some of the worst floods in Chennai, India, and southern India. We saw a million people being put in refugee camps in Kerala, India, where my family is from, unable to return to their homes. People in my family had to house people for weeks because of the destruction that was caused to people's homes and livelihoods. So this is not a crisis of 30 years, 50 years from now. This is affecting people in this moment, millions and millions of people. And when I think I just don't believe that any person should have to live in fear of losing the people that they love or the places that they call home to crises that are preventable. We've known about the climate crisis for 50 years. And in that time, we've seen the way that oil and gas money in our politics has really led to misinforming the public on the scientific validity of climate change. We've seen the way in which political parties have been completely bought out to fuel that climate denialism. The GOP, receives almost 80%+ of the amount of oil and gas money right now, and we've seen that the effect of that when we've seen the way that they've wholeheartedly embraced climate denialism and completely halted progress on the issue.
Let's talk politics then for a little bit, because we've seen some other progressive causes in recent years catch fire, but maybe not have a strong political strategy. I'm thinking of something like Occupy Wall Street, right? Big movement, got a lot of attention. There wasn't that focus, though, on we endorse these candidates, we get them into office, and we work within the system to enact change. Your group, the Sunrise Movement, seems to have a different tack. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So what Sunrise is really trying to do is get fossil fuel money out of politics, elect climate champions to office, and kick out fossil fuel-funded politicians as well who are stymieing progress, and really start to actually build the political and the public consensus around the real solutions to the climate crisis that are at scale with what science and justice demand. So to that effect, we're really combining both protest and demonstration to get the urgency of the climate crisis out into the public. That's why we did a demonstration 3 months ago outside of Nancy Pelosi's office that Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez also joined, and which has really fueled the excitement and the movement around a Green New Deal.
We actually have a little bit of sound from that event if we'd like to take a listen. Here's a flavor if you missed it.
Democrats!
I see you smiling as you recall that episode. In the moments that we have left, I mean, is that what we should expect more of in 2019, more events like that? I understand you've got a big planning conference call tonight. What's next in the immediate planning for
you? Absolutely. So for 2019, we are working to bring the Green New Deal to every American that we possibly can. It starts tonight. We have over 2,000 young people who are going to be attending a call to hear about the campaign for a Green New Deal and bring it to their contexts and communities. And we are going to be making sure that any politician in America who is seeking federal office backs a Green New Deal and stops taking money from the oil and gas executives who are threatening our futures.
Varshini Prakash is a co-founder of the Sunrise Movement, a group that is pushing for a Green New Deal. Varshini, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, Zoe Mitchell, and Eve Zukoff, with Walt Wolfman. Tim Skog is our technical director. We had help today from Matt Lissette. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Callum Borchers. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.